My name is Andy Black. Thank you for choosing to listen to today's health update so the truth can set you free. This is the fastest 30 minutes on the radio covering health, freedoms, and faith. Remember, just because you see it on television doesn't mean it's true. Just because the news reports it doesn't mean it's true. The deep state's goal is to cause so much fear that we will gladly and without resistance give up our freedoms in the name of the common good. Beware, communism always stresses it's for the common good. 2024 is the year that we must be diligent, informed, active in our republic, and prepared to defend our nation and our freedoms. And that is why we recommend everyone listen to today's health update. Yes, we tell the truth about the health of our society, but we also tell the truth concerning the spiritual health of our nation, so you will know what is coming and how to respond. So now, listen to the fastest 30 minutes on the radio with Roy Williams. You will be glad you did.
Are you ready, ladies and gentlemen? I ask you again, are you ready for the shortest 30 minutes on the radio? I hope so. I'm Roy Williams, the Guru of Good Health, the Superintendent of Supplementation, and of course you're listening to today's health update. We're interested in your health, of course, but we're not talking about just your physical health, but also your spiritual health and your mental health and even your financial health. And if we're going to have financial freedom and financial health again, we got to make some changes, and that's really what Freedom Fridays is all about, is helping we the people, the ones in power. Believe it or not, we are the power of this republic, and it is a republic. It's not a democracy. Quit letting them call it a democracy. We're a republic. We're a representative republic. Now we got to make sure we put good representatives up there, and we got to create a way that when our representatives are no longer representing our wishes, we boot them to the curb, literally take them out of office without them getting retirement, without them getting all the benefits just because they won an election. That's insanity. Now, some of you listening to me know I'm telling the truth. It is insane that we can send somebody up to Congress, whether it's the House or the Senate, whether it's the state or the federal. You send them up there, and if they manage to get through one or two terms, they're locked in for life. They get this enormous pay, them and their wives, and it cannot be taken away from them under any circumstance. They can break the law. I believe they could kill somebody, and they wouldn't lose it. This is wrong. It's wrong on every level. We got to hold them accountable. Above all people, the ones that are up there making the decisions for this country have got to be held accountable for those decisions. And that's why this is called Freedom Fridays. We're going to take control. I got news for all you politicians and all you legislators out there and all the rest of you that's in the criminal syndicate. That's what it is. We're coming for you in a nice way. We're going to vote you out. We're going to ask you to leave, and we're going to do it until you do it. It's that simple. And don't back us in a corner. You won't want to see that, which is what you're trying to do now. But I'm going to kind of shift gears a little bit today in this. I want to bring about one of the parts of us becoming a truly free society again, and to set our representative republic back in order. In order to do that, we cannot do it without God. Oh, I know. Some of you, oh, Roy's going to be preaching again. I don't preach. I teach a lot, but I don't preach. I am going to tell you the truth, though, and sometimes it sounds like I'm a preacher, but I'm not. Let's talk about David today. You know, one of the most loved leaders in human history was King David. I mean, you can check out all the writings and everything. He was the most respected, one of the most respected, one of the most loved leaders in the history of the world. Very successful leader. Very successful military man. It was where it started. I mean, let's face it, the man got powerful because, you know, they was in a war. Israel was in a war. And the Philistines were standing on their border wanting to attack Israel and to destroy it and kill everybody, which is what they wanted to do. But instead of them getting in a big battle, the military, the Philistines' military, They sent Goliath, a giant, an 11-foot-tall mass of a human being. Actually, I think he was a Nephilim. But anyway, we'll call him a human being. And they sent him out there, and every day, for days and days and weeks on end, he would say, "Come on, somebody challenge me, and let's fight this battle. Just me and one other person. There's no need in all of us getting in a battle and all of us losing thousands upon thousands of lives. Let's fight." But, I mean, he was a giant. He was armed. He had all the military gear you could imagine they had back then, spears and swords and shields and protection on. I mean, here's a beast of a human being, I guess you'd call him, and he's challenging them. And, of course, nobody in Solomon's army, not one of them, would take on the challenge. And I'm not saying that I would have. I'm not saying that at all. But then David was sent by his dad to go and check on his brothers who were there at that military fight or standoff at this point. And what do they do? He goes and he says, "What's going on?" And they said, "What, you hadn't heard?" He said, "Well, no, I've been out tending sheep." And they said, "This Philistine's out there challenging us, and nobody's willing to take the challenge." And he looked down there and saw Goliath, and what a huge human being he was, and sounded angry and screamed and yelled and hollered and called them cowards and basically slandered the only true and living God. That's what Goliath was doing. And David went and talked to his daddy and some of the other people, and he says, to Solomon and the military people, and he says, "What's going on?" And they finally told him, says, "Well, nobody will challenge him." And he says, "Why?" And they said, "Look at him. He's a beast. He's a giant." And David says, "I'll take him on." So David went to Solomon and told him, and Solomon says, "Yeah, what, are you a kid? You can't do that." And he says, "Well, you call me what you want." Now, David may have been 16 years old, y'all. He's a young punk. But he knew something, and he told Solomon, says, "I've been taking care of the sheep, and I've killed a bear with a staff, and I've killed a lion." He says, "I can take this man on. I'm telling you, I can take him." And since nobody else ever volunteered, finally Solomon gave in and says, "Well, here, put my shield on, put my armor on and my helmet on and get your sword and your spear and all this." And David tried to wear that, and he says, "I can't wear this. It's too heavy for me. It just slow me down. I can't do it." Now, I'm not giving you exact words of the Bible, obviously, but what he do? David finally says, "Just give me a minute." He went down to a stream and he picked out 5 smooth stones, put it in his pouch, and he took his sling. We'd call it a slingshot today. It's a little more than that. But he took a sling and he says, "I'll take him on." And they send him out to the battle. Well, of course, when Goliath looked at him, says, "What am I, a dog?" I mean, Goliath said, "What, are you insulting me?" That's what a dog was, a very insulting thing to call somebody back then. And he says, and finally he looked at David and says, "I'm going to kill you and grind you up right here in the streets and let the birds eat you and eat your flesh." And David says, "Well, you know, you're coming at me with all your weaponry and all your heavy equipment, and I'm coming to you as a young man with my weapon, and my weapon is God, and you're insulting our God." He said, he told Goliath this, he says, "Today I'm going to take your head off of your body." And of course that just enraged Goliath even more. And what did the Goliath do? He started marching toward David, stomping. I can only imagine him growling, spitting like an old bull. And what did David do? He depended on God, and he took his sling out, put one of them stones in it. He slung that sling around 3 or 4 or 5 times, whatever he did, and let that thing fly. Hit Goliath right in the one spot he wasn't protected, right in his forehead. And what happened? Goliath fell to his death. David went over and took his own sword and cut his head off, just like he told him he was going to do, and ended the war. Now, I hope you enjoyed that story. It's a cool story, but let's get into something David wrote. Psalms 51, 10 through 12 says, this is David talking to God. This is why God loved him. He says, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Boy, if there's ever a prayer that we, the people of the United States, need to be saying, that's it. If we don't humble ourselves before the one thing that our country was established on, and that's God, we are, by the way, you may not want to face this, but we are of the tribes of Israel. We are, I can prove it, we crossed the Caucasus Mountains into Canada, Great Britain, and then into the United States, not in that order, but and that's why we're a great nation. Our founding fathers believed in God, and we've got to turn back to God if we want to be the greatest nation that's ever lived, that's ever been on earth again. And we can be, but we've got to all work together, and we've got to pull together, and we got to put our faith back in God. I want to give you another story of David. God tells us that David was a man after his own heart, which is really an incredible statement when you consider that he lusted after his neighbor's wife, committed adultery with her, and then had her husband killed in battle to hide her pregnancy, their adultery. It is normal to ask, how could God think so highly of anyone that was guilty of those sins? That wasn't all of them, folks. You about every sin in the Ten Commandments David committed, but so have we. David killed so many people that God wouldn't even let him build a temple. He said, you've shed too much blood. Yet he's a man after God's own heart. Do we want to be a country after God's own heart? We better listen to this story. To help you understand why he was a man after God's own heart, you must look at how David handled his crimes when confronted with them. God knows that the flesh is weak and therefore did not regard David according to his sinful nature. We all got a sinful nature. But according to the deepest motivations and disposition of his heart, which is revealed when Nathan the prophet revealed his sins, revealed to David his own sins. He told David, you're an adulterer. You've committed murder. You've done. And that's the way God looked at it. It was murder, by the way. Of course, how did David handle it? When our politicians today are accused of crimes that we know they did, do they do this? Listen to what David did. David's immediate response exemplified his wonderful walk with the one true God. David did not make excuses, did not rationalize his actions or resist the fact of his sinfulness. In other words, his actions did not reveal a self-justifying or a self-righteous attitude, which is what our politicians and our leaders do today when they're caught doing something wrong. I mean, look at Nancy Pelosi, look at Biden, look at him. Oh my goodness, how far we've strayed from something that'd be pleasing to God. So David didn't make excuses. In other words, his actions did not reveal, as I say, a self-justified. Most people justified why they did it. And boy, you can always do that. And he did not have a self-righteous attitude. Doing that, by the way, would have destroyed his relationship with his heavenly Father, and he knew it. Instead, immediately, he made a complete confession, which qualified him for the Lord's forgiveness and his mercy. The same is true of each of us. Because David humbled himself before God and without hesitation confessed his sins, his relationship with God was restored. Another thing that should not be overlooked in this story is that David never lost sight of the first of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Of all the kings throughout the history of the Hebrew nation, David was the only one that never committed idolatry. I didn't say adultery. That's a physical thing. Idolatry is a spiritual thing. David never worshipped any god other than Yahweh, the only true and living God. Yes, the consequences of his sins were very serious. And even though his relationship with God was restored, David paid an earthly price. even painful price for all he did against God's will. I mean, his first son was eventually killed. However, he did not allow those sins to define him. The consequences of his sins followed him throughout his life, but he never blamed God for the troubles he brought on himself or his family. The genuineness of his repentance by never turning on God, never worshiping a fake God, allowed David to rise up, to be submissive to God, and to worship him with his whole life. God does not judge us by our failures, but how quickly we repent, humble ourselves, show reverence for him, and the direction we take after repentance. May we all follow David's lead. This nation, to maintain its power as the powerhouse of the whole world, as the leaders of the free nations, we must repent of our sins. We must acknowledge that we've put some really horrible, disgusting people in power, and that we did put them there. We voted them in there. Now, we could argue about whether or not the elections were fair. I don't believe the last one was for sure, and probably most of them before that wasn't, but it's time to straighten that out. And only people that's going to straighten that out is we the people. Those in power aren't going to change the laws that gives them their power. You understand? You know, the lesson Jesus was teaching Peter when he asked him three times, "Do you love me?" is a very important lesson for the whole flock, for everybody. You see, nothing's really changed since Jesus was on earth in the flesh. By the way, that's God in the flesh. God walked amongst us. He don't ask us to be in the flesh without him doing it himself. He healed almost everyone that came to him. This angered the establishment so much that they turned the crowds against him, convicted him of crimes he never did, and crucified him on a cross. Question one, why would they kill a man for doing good? Question two, who had him killed? Now, those are two important questions we need to ask. Have you noticed today that anybody that takes a stand for God, that takes a stand for good moral character, that takes a stand against the sinfulness of the world, they're the ones that's shamed? It's the evil people that are glorified. Look at what Hollywood's doing to us. Look at what even, television and all the movies are doing. Everything that was once considered wrong is now considered all right. And if you stand for what's right, if you stand for God and good morality and things like that, you're considered no good. They will try their best to destroy your character, to shame you, to put you in prison. They'll do it. You see, nothing's really changed. Even the leader of the most powerful nation on earth, Pilate, in Jesus' day, said, "I can find no fault in him." But they still, what? They still, it was the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the leaders of the most religious people in the world, supposedly, that screamed, "Crucify him, crucify him." In reality, you aren't being taught this in church, but they were Kenites. They claimed to be of their father Abraham, but they lie. Jesus told them that, "But you do lie." That's what's happening today. These self-righteous scumbags that are in office, they're self-righteous, they're pious, they're awful people, but they want us to accept that as the norm. They want us to get involved in all kinds of immorality. Why? Because they like that stuff. And anybody that takes a stand against it better get out of their way. Let's start with question two. According to the Bible stories, the Sadducees and Pharisees begged the Roman government to crucify him. Why? Because they couldn't put nobody to death. The Roman government set up so they were the only ones with the power to crucify. And that's how we know he was crucified on a cross. That's how they did it in those days. The religious people had no power of life and death. Only the government could have people put to death. In other words, it was the religious leaders that begged for the Messiah's death. Are we not in the same situation today? Have you seen people screaming and hollering what they ought to do to Trump? Was Trump a perfect man? Absolutely not, no more than David was. But does Trump stand up for what's right for America and what's best for me and you? You bet he does. But what are they wanting to do to him? They're screaming, crucify him. Some of them in the Democrat Party have even suggested assassination. What is wrong with these people? Oh, we know what's wrong. They believe that Satan is right. They are Cainites. They are of the offspring of Cain, which simply means that they want evil. They like evil. They hate light. They love darkness. That's where we're at today. They're trying to hide all the evil stuff they do. They even want pedophilia accepted and eventually legalized. That is the most egregious, disgusting, immoral thing I could imagine, except for one. They all worship Moloch. Moloch is the god of death. Moloch wants all the firstborn children sacrificed to him. What kind of a person would worship a god that wants you to sacrifice your firstborn child? Our God, the only true and living God, was right the opposite. He allowed his own son to accept the sins of the whole world. And he allowed him to be sacrificed to forgive us. That's not what Moloch wants. Why did the religious people want him dead? To cover their sins. Oh, man. So let's examine why the religious people want him dead again. What did Jesus do to make so many of them mad? He was going against the establishment for not doing what they should have been doing in the first place. The people were going to them for forgiveness of sins so they could be healed. I'm talking about the Sadducees and Pharisees, and yet, as the woman in the Bible, it suffered for 7 years, and the Pharisees and Sadducees couldn't heal her. God healed her. Jesus healed her, and they held him accountable. Now we're being held accountable for doing what's right. The religious folk were so wrapped up in making money off the poor and afflicted that they were unable to forgive or heal. Where are we at today? The so-called powerful people want to keep taking all of our money. They're committing legal theft. They're raising our taxes. Every time we get successful, and you know this is true if you live very long, we get a whole group in society that's so successful, we're all living in new homes, driving new cars, and we're making money off the stock market, and we're earning good interest rates. And what do? They raise the interest rates. They kick our feet out from under us. They come back and take back all the houses because, oh, they can't afford it. Well, no, they can't afford it. They could when they had the rent first payment on it, but what happens after that? You raise interest rates, and their payments go up twice, three times. Rent goes up, and they start taking it all back. It's the same thing they were doing then. You know? You can't get people to do what they're supposed to do, but they're all excited about doing what's wrong. The religious folk, remember, were so wrapped up in what? In making money. Mammon. You can't worship both God and mammon, money. And they were making money off who? The poor people, the afflicted people, the ones that couldn't protect themselves. And what do they want to do? They want to take our guns away from us so we can't even protect ourselves. They were so mad because they were not able to do what Jesus was doing back in Jesus' day. They couldn't do the healing. And Jesus was getting thousands upon thousands of followers because he was healing so many people. They couldn't do it. And so all the people were gathering around Jesus and put their faith in him. Why did they have faith in Jesus? Because he was forgiving and healing all that believed in him. I'm telling you, our leaders today, they neither forgive nor do they heal. That's why the medical profession is so determined to stop the nutritional supplement industry. They don't want anything to compete with their sorcery. That's right, I call it sorcery. Pharmakia, pharmaceutical, pharmacist, a druggist, a poisoner, sorcery. See, we don't believe in sorcery. We believe in God. They don't want us to believe in God. They want us to believe in science. I told you that last week. So here we are today. We have a medical system that not only can't heal, but has no plan to ever heal anyone again. The money is all that matters to them, and there's more money in treating the sick than actually healing them. Anyone that has faith in God's healing powers found in natural supplements will be shamed and put out of business. That's what they're trying to do. Heaven forbid anyone actually heal a disease and become popular doing it. Oh, man. I can tell you, I know over a dozen people that was doing just that. They found what's natural in nature, and they put these people on it. They got over their cancers. They got over their heart disease. They got over their diabetes. They became real popular, and what does the government do? They step in, arrest them, shut them down for practicing medicine without a license, they call it. Even though they hurt no one, there was no victim. They still took away their rights, put them in prison, took all their money, and the ones they couldn't put in prison or take their money, oh, they kill them. Aren't we a lot different from the way they were in David's day? Are we a lot different from the way they were in Jesus' day? Oh, no. Things don't change much unless what? Unless we, the people, make changes. Unless we ask for forgiveness. I'm telling you, they're so powerful today. You get too popular, they'll hire the government to imprison or do away with you. However you want to look at that. I'll let you be the decision maker on what I mean by that. I'm against all violence. I don't think there should be any violence in this old world, although I don't know how to get away from it completely, but I believe that we've got to protect our rights. So I'm going to ask you today, to start paying attention to what's going on around you. Don't stick your head in the sand like an old ostrich with your butt sticking up in the air and you're wondering what's going to get you. Listen, folks, we got to take a stand, and if we stand up to them, there's more of us than there are of them. I guarantee you there's more of us than there are of them. And if we all take a stand and demand that they follow the Constitution of the United States and the law, and only the law, not acting under the color of law, we don't want any more of that. Acting under the color of law just cost me and you, ladies and gentlemen, everything we've ever worked for. Oh, and listen, they're trying to figure out how to steal your Social Security and your pension and your retirement funds right now. And if you give them enough time, they'll figure out how to do it, and they'll call it under law, but it'll be under the color of law unless we force them to do what they swore to do, and that's uphold the Constitution of the United States. It's time to hold them accountable for the Constitution, and don't let a bunch of fake judges up there read something into the Constitution that is not there. Our founding fathers wrote it as clearly as it could be written, and there was no misunderstanding. You do wrong, you pay the price, and that's what's got to happen, even if you're a politician, a powerful person, and real popular. We can do it if we stick together. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to today's Health Update. Spread the news. Tell them there's some people out there that's still telling the good news, and that's the truth. Well, the truth is God loves you. God loves me. He loves the people, and he'll stand up for us if you'll stand up for him. So magnify the Lord. Until next time, may God bless all of us with abundant health.
Now you know why today's Health Update is called the fastest 30 minutes on the radio. Making the right decisions becomes so much easier when you know the truth. If you would like to know more about products, call 256-757-0660. Visit Herbs & More in Athens or NHC Herb Shop in Killen, or visit our website at www.nhcherbs.com. If you would like to hear a show again or share it with someone, go to Herbs & More Athens Facebook page and scroll down to Roy's picture. The shows are uploaded daily. Or go to Podbean on your computer or phone and type NHC19. That's NHC19 in the search bar and scroll down to find the title you wish to listen to. This is Andy Black. Thank you again for listening to today's Health Update.